Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, number one here, a little Big Three at Three. The Astros, they have been struggling at the plate, to say the least. They scored, what, 4 runs in that 3-game series? And 14 overall in the 6-game homestand they had against the Pirates and the Rays, and they lose like that. That's one's hard to take. Spencer Arrighetti, he's probably right now, even when you add Kikuchi into the mix, knowing he's got at least a history of being a starter and play, Spencer Arrighetti is right now the shakiest one where you're like, all right. Hey, man, you know, if he can just kind of keep us in the game, you got a shot. Well, this guy strikes out 12 and gives up 1 run. And I mean, really shut them down after getting himself in early trouble in the first inning. And you can't muster up a run. Not runs.
Yeah.
A run. And you lose 1-0 and continue to be in second place. But luckily, because the Mariners, they seem to do the same damn things. They lost as well. You didn't lose any ground from the day before, but this offense is really, really fighting it right now, Clint. And it's clear. I throw this out to you, and the people, like, how many guys, as the lineup currently is constructed, as we see it each day, is, we know the guys that potentially are in it. How many guys really scare you? Like, how many guys, if you are game planning for this lineup, where you're like, oh. Like, can't let that cat beat me. It feels like there's two definite, you know, Yordan and Altuve. Bregman's kind of up in the air, but the rest, man, there feels like a lot of spaces in the lineup, Clint, where pitchers can feel comfortable trying to get to that guy to get out of stuff. And that's where you get a sense where it's like, ooh, I wonder how many answers they'll actually have.
Yeah, I would go three. I would include Bregman in that. And look, I'm on the verge of adding Diaz to that mix. I mean, he is swinging the bat really, really well. But you're talking more about fear, like fear in the opponent going, uh-oh, what am I going
to
do here?
Or like, I don't want to attack that guy. Like, yeah, there are so many guys in the lineup, like, all right, I will avoid to try to get to Altuve, or I'm coming hard at whoever's hitting ninth.
Right.
So I don't, you know.
Yeah, no question. I think it's the big three at the top right now, and then you've got a couple of guys that are swinging it well, but don't carry the same impact whatsoever in terms of striking fear in the opponent. They need Kyle Tucker back, obviously. But these are the types of games that, as a fan, that are frustrating but acceptable. Like, if this team, I've said this before, if this team doesn't make a run in the playoffs because the bats aren't enough, then I'm going to live with it. Right? I mean, when Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown and Kikuchi and all these guys are doing what, you know, I mean, they're giving you opportunities. If this lineup doesn't get it done, then I just it's frustrating. Don't get me wrong, I don't like losing. And it's frustrating. What is that, two straight series you lost?
Two straight series, yeah. They went 2-4 on that six game.
Yeah, it's frustrating as hell. Don't get me wrong, but it's just I don't think it's going to last. I think this lineup, you get Kyle Tucker back at some point. I don't know when the hell
we'll have to talk about that.
Hope it happens. But you get him back. Diaz swinging as well as he is. Pena swinging it as well as he has in the postseason and really this season. You know, I think they'll be fine, but it is a very frustrating way to go down. That's no question.
Yeah, they gotta. I hope they'll be fine, but they gotta start swinging the bats. They've got to start doing something, and that is a tough one when you need these series wins, and you lose 1-0. That's at home at Minute Maid. That's a tough one. All right, to some of the injury notes. Verlander threw another bullpen, threw 37 pitches, felt good. Clint got up to 94 when he threw that live BP session. So that's two. I think the hopeful next step is that he is able to start getting a rehab assignment in. And as they said the other day, they think it could take multiple rehab starts. So that's a good sign to hear that Verlander was able to have a successful live BP.
Hell yeah. I mean, he's coming.
He's coming. Now, the other side of this is Lance McCullers.
Oh.
Joe Espada decided on Sunday. We got this news at the airport. Joe decided to give us this nugget about Lance McCullers. Here is Joe Espada, the captain. Him and Lance. About Lance McCullers and what we'll see from him this year.
I've been talking to Lance a little bit, and you know where he's at right now. I think it's safe to say that I don't think he'll pitch this season. It'd be almost too much to ask for him to ramp up and get him back this season. You know, everything is moving in the right direction, but just where we're at right now, the number of games. I think it's that's where we're at.
Let me stop you right there, Joe. It's not moving in the right direction.
No,
it's not.
Do you hear yourself, Espada?
It's moving in the opposite.
What a dumbass thing to say.
Okay, I'm glad you had it. Thing to say.
Yeah, I'm not calling Espada a dumbass by any means necessary, but what a dumbass thing to say as the manager of this ball club. Things are moving in the right direction. Well, no, Joe, they're not.
It's a little slower than expected.
Lance hasn't pitched from the mound in 2 years. So I want to know exactly how things are moving in the right direction.
Selling a lot of coffee, man.
I mean, it insults every Astros fan's intelligence. But, like, this is stupid.
But where are we at now with him? Does he just need rest? Like, what? What's going to make our right next year is going to be the time he's, like, you understand, like, all right, hey, Luis Garcia had surgery on Tommy John. This is going to take a certain amount of time. We're going to do this. As Tyler said, my man ain't pitched in 2 years. This is the second season, complete season he's going to miss. What's going to happen in spring training that's going to make him ready?
They're going to have plenty of time to ramp him up, man. They're going to have plenty of time to give him the attention that he needs and to ramp him up a bit. You know what I mean?
This is throwing the towel, right? Like, this is done. Right?
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying.
What's he got left on his contract?
I mean, this guy's got to be out, right? I thought it was a 4-year deal. Maybe I'm off.
Yeah, but it was signed. I mean, I don't think it's up.
Maybe he's got one more year on it. I thought it was signed.
Through 2026.
Two more years.
Unrestricted free agent 2027.
Really? When did he sign that deal? When did that kick in? Oh, it was last year, wasn't it? Was it an extension? Maybe it was an extension that kicked in.
Yeah, okay. It was an extension.
All right, that makes. I was gonna say, it couldn't have been signed because when I got here is when he had got. I think it was like 4 years, $85 million.
Yeah,
is what he got. Yeah. And it must have been an extension onto other years they had. Well, they are. I mean, it's just this. All right, spring training. Hopefully, this is the year that Lance is ready to return. That's interesting.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, I think this is good to hear, and glad we've gotten this out the way on Monday. Sometimes, for whatever reason, sometimes D'Amico likes to be close to the vest with certain decisions, like who's going to be the starters, who's going to do what, whatever. But he does make a decision on how they're going to handle the game on Friday against the Steelers with his starting lineup.
When it comes to the snaps and preseason thing, everybody's trying to figure out. Some teams don't play starters, some play. I truly believe in that a guy needs to get reps in a preseason game, right? We don't go to the ground, as you see, the way we practice. We try to keep guys up and be as safe as possible in practice. I think everybody needs that opportunity to go to the ground a couple times in the game, then just get up, dust yourself off, and know you're good, right? And I'm okay. Like, I can go to the ground and get up. So you just have to go through and play live reps of football before live action comes in September. So you'll see our ones go out and get reps this week versus Pittsburgh.
All right, the ones are going to play this week versus Pittsburgh. First off, are you good with CJ being a part of that? Like, I'm sure, obviously, the ones, you want to see the line and all those. You good with CJ being a part of that, too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think at some point in time, we got to start talking. With this team, we're at a spot where we've got to start talking about the collective group, right? In the past, we're going, even though it wasn't a real competition, we're going – Davis Mills is getting first reps, and CJ's getting first reps. You're not going to name a guy who the starter is, and you know who's the starting receivers, who's the starting running backs. That was the last 2-3 years. That was the vibe in camp, right? And right now, to me, although those conversations will still be had, to me, you've got to start moving in a direction with this offensive line working together. We've heard time and time again. I've heard Smitty say it. I've heard a lot. I mean, guys that have played a lot of football at that position talk about how this zone heavy scheme offensively. You've got to have five guys that are all one heartbeat, man. That their footwork is all the same. The speed at which they're moving, the length of each step, the shoulder, all these different movements have to be the same. And you got to get those five guys rolling together. Talking about the offensive line as an entire unit. You talk about all offenses where the quarterback's in-game cadence and tone in his voice, everybody getting used to that and getting off on the snap and the timing up pre-snap movements and things of that nature. At some point, right, you want to see all that a good bit before it really matters. And so we talked last week about Juice Scruggs playing and him communicating and doing things. Well, CJ needs to communicate with Juice and vice versa. All of those different parts of executing this offense, you got to start getting all on the same page, right? I don't know if that was ever the focus last year, to be honest with you, with a new team trying to implement all the basics. I don't know if you ever really had an opportunity to really work on and hone in on the big picture things, the offensive unit, the offensive line unit as a group. I don't know how much work they had on that last year. This is a team that's at that spot, and I think this Friday and next Saturday will be important games as it pertains to, at least we hope, you know, something may pop and you go all of a sudden, well, damn, man, that left guard center position ain't as stable as we thought it was. We're gonna have to mix and match some guys in there.
Yeah.
But right now, looking at it, you got to believe that you just go, hey, all right, we got to start getting some continuity. We got to start getting these guys all on the same page, and you don't want to wait till the fourth preseason game to figure that part of it out.
Here is D'Amico on practice today as they are practicing in Ohio. They're staying out there, then they'll go to Pittsburgh And so they'll be gone a little while, at least from Houston. But this is how he said practice went today.
I think overall it was a very competitive practice. And our offense, it made you think you saw a lot of big plays that our offense made. That's what we want to see. But it's just execution was higher today on both sides of the football. And to see our guys compete, right, guys be sticky in coverage, see the offense still make plays, like that's what I want to see. I want to see a competitive team, and that's what you saw today. And it's always fun to see our offense making big plays.
Yeah, and you, as you're saying, you need to start to see that executed against other opponents that are trying to do more than what you are to each other, obviously. So good for them. Very competitive. When they say competitive, apparently Stephon Diggs and Jalen Petrie had a little fiery discussion. Got a good little back and forth going on there. So I think they're ready to start trying to play against other teams. And to go with what we just said at the beginning, I like the idea of get these guys on the field.
Yeah, look, I love it. But let's talk about that specifically, what you mentioned. I mean, if Jalen Petrie's in a position where he is covering, because I believe that conversation or that little back and forth
after
little scuffle,
the holding penalty
was it a holding penalty? Was it, did they call the penalty, or is that?
Yeah, they threw a hold on, okay, on Petrie.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he's
they said it was a questionable call.
Well, good. Where I'm going with it, if they're in a spot where Petrie feels the need or the ability to defend and make what he thinks is a good play on Diggs and then get into an altercation afterwards, I like where the hell Petrie's head's at.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
If I'm him, I don't know that I would like to get matched up man-to-man with Diggs too often, but at the end of the day, if he's in position to make plays on Diggs and make questionable calls
I'll take that.
Hell, I'll take that. You're damn right.
That means
you're in his hip pocket and a flag could
– because you got to pull it close.
Yep.
I'm concerned that he's not going to be in position to get a penalty.
That's the concern with him moving to that nickel position, man, is how well can he cover?
Yeah. So so things kind of going well as if you missed, D'Amico said the ones will get in action on Friday. So that's going to make for a very, very fun, at least first. You better get there early to watch the ones and the twos, some of the new players. I don't think Joe Mixon will probably be involved in that as he did practice again today, but most of the ones I think we'll see play.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, Jim Harbaugh leaves a lot as he dips to the Chargers, but Michigan, as we know, they have been hit with multiple suspensions and issues with the NCAA for the last year or so. There's more. Michigan, their current football coach, has violated NCAA rules. They said that Moore could face the show cause penalty. That is a huge, huge penalty where you got to sit down for years. Bruce Pearl had that happen to him in college basketball. A couple of other coaches.
Jim Tressel,
you're right. They said that there's a thread of 52 text messages to former Michigan staffer Connor Stallions. This is the guy who was caught on the sideline, but he said he attempted to erase 52 text messages, Clint. So we'll see where this goes. I'd be surprised, and I've heard a lot of people say they'd be surprised if it got to the show cause space of things, especially how they handle things with Jim.
Yeah, that's the part where
you can't do that.
There's hard drives that were dumped. There's all kind of evidence that they clearly were doing illegal stuff, right? I mean, text messages, hard drives, I mean, all kind of stuff.
Know what Jim said.
The interesting part to me, and I don't know what it means in the whole mix, but the fact that everybody across the NFL is stroking old Jim Harbaugh up there with the Chargers and about how good they're going to be and how great of a coach he is, and my boy Sherrone Moore is back in Michigan facing the music for all the illegal activities, stealing signs and crap they were up to. That's just an interesting. That's an interesting dynamic. If I were Harbaugh, I'd have a hard time sleeping at night. And I look at Harbaugh, it don't seem like he gives two rips.
Oh, he probably said, "Hey man, that's what we need you to do, man." He probably tell him, "You got to send these texts. We need you."
He was definitely in the middle of it. There ain't no doubt about it. He was in the middle of it.
You know, he kept saying we hadn't done nothing wrong.
Yeah, okay, Jim.
He kept saying Jim. That all the way while he was sitting out games against Penn State.
I'll never be shocked with how slimy the higher you go in college and pros, boy, they're all slimier than hell, almost cussed. But it's something about Hill. It's something about when you're the man at the top and you leave and you are just getting just. I mean, this is the guy, man. He's gonna have the Chargers back, and it's.
I think he will too.
And all of a sudden, boy, you the guys that you left back there to face that music of all that illegal crap you were doing.
Hey, man,
they're just having to eat it.
That's what he said. And we gave him a championship.
Oh,
he's got a ring now. I gave him a job. He gets past this. Hopefully, he don't get that show calls. He gets past that 3-game. He shouldn't. Like, if Jim got a 3-game suspension or whatever he got, I think he got multiple ones. He shouldn't get more than Jim, to me. Because you know Jim was a ringleader. All right, coming up, there was one thing that I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's one thing that I saw this weekend that I think we need to really look at when it comes to the Texans. We'll discuss that coming up
next. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Tyler just texted, said in our ears that the FX is doing another.
I told you wrong.
Who is it?
No, it's FX, but it's not a documentary. It's like a dramatization with an actor playing the fella I mentioned.
Aaron Hernandez.
Yes.
How many more of these have you got?
We haven't gotten a dramatization.
Well, I guess.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's son Patrick will be playing Tim Tebow.
So like a bio.
Oh, it's going to go back to the college. Like
a bio.
Yep.
Like following his life.
It's going to be called, again, it's presented by FX. It's going to be called Aaron Hernandez, American Sports Story.
The fellow's very close to the last one.
Well, I mean, I feel like there should be, like, murder should be in the title somewhere.
I think they've done other American sports stories. But this one is Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it's a series.
I'm about all Aaron now.
So you ain't going to watch this dramatization?
I'll probably end up falling into it. But, I mean, I'm not in need of another one. As Clint says before we go on, I'm a murder mystery guy. I'm watching every last
hell, one. I watched first 48 episodes that I've seen twice, 2-3 times. I can tell you from the car that's in the opening segment if I've seen it or not. And I'll sit there and watch the whole damn thing. So, yeah, I mean, I look, if...
September 17th.
I mean, the way in which that all went down, I still think there's... Like, I want to know...
We feel like we've just heard that story so many different times.
Yeah, but when the guy... Like, that last one that came out where it was more about Florida, not necessarily Aaron, but just when they come out and say, boy, they left a lot out. Like, that just piques my interest, man. And it... it would pique my interest no matter what, but knowing old buddy went on to murder somebody is just like, man, somebody's potentially in two different states. Yeah,
they had a straight episode basically about him in that dynasty.
Yeah, yeah.
And that,
but like I want to know more about what the hell went on in Florida.
That's where it started.
Like legitimately what went on with Florida.
Urban's trying to make sure that
doesn't
happen.
Want to talk about slimy coaches. And I ain't talking about the co-ed dancing between his legs at the bar either. I ain't worried about that.
That's just a part of it. I'm about it. I'm about airing out. We'll see. I'm sure it'll do numbers. Listen, we had a great time. Like I said earlier in the crosstalk, Clint, a lot of times they just start walking, ended up in spaces. We ended up in spaces that we didn't have the press pass for, but we just walked in and looked big time. One time, we just grabbed a plate, made it look like we was exactly where we were supposed to be.
Yeah, and we did that at the draft too. Looked up and standing next to Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes and their family suite.
We were standing in there, yes, with Brittany and their children.
I'm surprised that exit went as smooth as it did. By the way, that could have been bad. You know what I mean? That could have been arrested bad.
Yeah, arrested, drawn on us. Like, I mean, because we got way too close.
I mean, there was three different security checkpoints that we just headed to the way through.
Yeah, they had B. Arthur at one of them.
It will not be a good night.
On our break. That was the last line of the fits, Tyler. Was B. Arthur from Golden Girls sitting down on our break.
I've never seen Golden Girls. Which one was that?
Oh, God. You've never seen Golden Girls?
Blanche is the slutty one, right?
Yeah, Blanche is the slutty one. Dorothy's the...
I wasn't sure if I
could
say that.
She was a little slutty, too, but she ended up being the main character. She also was Maude. B. Arthur. Dorothy.
We got all the way to the back, and she said, oh, this is backstage. You can't get back here. I said, what about them doors right there? She said, oh, I'm not real sure what they are. Go ahead and try that second one.
She was sitting down.
So we just eased on in that damn
suite.
And
that door wasn't locked.
It was not one bit. I did move a garbage can to get up there, but it was not locked.
No, it wasn't. And, I mean, we were, and then at the Hall of Fame, me and Vicky, we slid ourselves right in there. And I knew I was standing around people that I know that this thing around my neck don't give me access.
I looked up at one point, T. I looked up because, you know, the one cool thing about like that part of the Hall of Fame, the actual induction, is there's former players everywhere that are coming to support their guys, right? And these two go through an entry over there, and I literally stayed back just because it was more kind of in front of the stage and I wanted to have a better view. They go in this side view, and they're sitting over, and I'm watching them, and they're a lot closer to the stage than I am. Figgy Hill ended up sitting in the seats. But anyway, they're a lot closer than I am, and I'm looking, and like I said, they were the only two guys that had a green lanyard around their neck, so they clearly were in the wrong spot. I mean, there's 400 people up there, and they were the only two green lanyards. But anyway, so I'm watching them, and I look up, and it's all the Carolina Panthers players that played with Julius Peppers, and I was like, Ron is standing about 5 foot from Dante Wesley, who played 19 years with Carolina, but he was at Arkansas with me and then transferred. Anyway, I know him well. I'm sitting there. I'm like, damn. I was watching Ron and Figgy, and I looked up.
I was standing next to Matt Forte. Vernon Davis was like, I just said, I'm just going to stay right here. I told Figgy, flip your thing around.
Yeah, so there was a big 49ers contingent there. That's why Harbaugh was there.
That's why Jim was there.
That's why Jim was there. For Patrick Willis. But yeah, it was interesting.
But I'm
watching my guys and I'm like, hell, I ain't seen him in a minute.
But you know who else was there? I saw up close to JJ Watt. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
No, you don't. You actually love it, but go ahead.
That's not true. Let's add to it. That does not, and you saw him on TV. Y'all saw him. I'm telling you, even more in person. I stood right there next to him. We were standing, walking. That man is not ready to play defensive line.
Come on, JJ.
I'm not saying I'm just saying, like, he would have to really do some training to put on some weight. I mean, that he damn sure ain't ready to go and take the role of Denico Autry.
Come on, JJ.
Who was going to play inside and outside?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Clint, obviously he's taller, and I didn't have a scale. But if you told me that JJ was 250, I'd have believed it.
Well, I told you that picture he posted is. He can't be him.
You know, and Figgy was like, "That dude ain't ready. That dude ain't playing football." I said, "No, he looks like a leading man in a non-action movie." Like not you know, not like Steven Seagal or
he looks like a Hooper, huh?
Arnold, yeah, like Tom Hanks in a leading role. He's closer to Tom than that. I know there are so many people who are wanting to see that happen. You think like he has got some weight to put on if that is where he is going
to
go.
Well, like so, what you're saying is it's going to take us dropping a couple of defensive ends and needing him to be in position, yes. Not inside.
Yeah. Maybe in he can get you, but I mean he is. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah.
And I really do enjoy this hairstyle more than what he gave us at the Super Bowl.
Come on, JJ.
I saw a picture of my phone with that damn Super Bowl cut.
I enjoy this a lot better. I'm not saying like maybe he can put himself on a regiment real fast, but I'm just saying that doesn't look like I'm getting myself to come in and play.
We talked about this, Ron, when that picture surfaced to him so shredded up. I mean, it's just that's not the only way it makes sense is if it's at the defensive end position. Like, I mean, he would have to get back to 285.
Where
285? Well,
Will Anderson and where Will Anderson and.
And Danielle Hunter.
And Danielle Hunter live.
Yeah. I mean, and you can argue with Hughes, not that he wouldn't be a step up from these guys, but you can argue Hughes and Barrett or is it Barrett?
Barnett,
yeah. You can argue those two are some pretty damn good depth, too. So I just don't know. I agree with you. If he's sitting at the end, it would have to be the defensive end position. Yes. The good thing is you're sitting in a 4-3, so there's true defensive ends, not outside linebackers and D tackles, but
yeah, just when I say Finn, like, I mean, listen, he's still a big joker,
right?
By the way, he needs some security. I mean, good God Almighty,
people swarming him.
Oh, when Andre's done, so he's sitting right there with the McNairs, they come rolling out, and Figgy, they come rolling out, and he's right behind them. And I mean, whew, here they go. I mean, it's an avalanche of people trying to get to him, like, and saw some of the Texas staff. There was like, man, he needs some security.
Yeah,
and he's trying to sign as much and take as many pictures.
Right.
I said, yeah, that guy's not a tweener.
That's a defensive end that needs a little security. That's
a defensive end that looked like he may go and try to take Colts Cade Stover's job. Like he may flip over and play tight end. That's what he looks like. All right, coming up. God, get some more news here. Kyle Tucker, the latest from Joe Espada on Kyle Tucker. The latest from Joe Espada, what he said over the weekend. Someone asked him, could he return in August? Wait to hear what Joe had to say. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There's some rumors going on about a potential move in the NFL where a team in the AFC could potentially get better once we get more info. By the way, that move is, Clint, the 49ers are potentially in works with the Pittsburgh Steelers about trading Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers. That is a couple of reports of that here in the last couple of minutes. We'll see if that is something that actually happens. But that would change Pittsburgh a bit with their offense and that team. Talk about George Pickens and Brandon Ayuk on the outside. That would make things interesting to see what that offense would look like. That's one to keep an eye on, a team in the AFC that I think right now is clearly behind the Texans. But that would be a big addition. A big addition to them.
Yeah, that would be big. Because you're talking about, and then you look at the thought that Justin Fields could potentially be making a push to be the starter in Pittsburgh. I don't know how much truth is to that or not, but any way you slice it, you put that athlete on the field that can do what he can do between the tackles with his legs, and then all of a sudden you got those two big boys outside that can go. That'd be a monster to stop. There's no doubt.
Yeah, so that's one to keep an eye on because he's continued to hold in and just not practice. But we'll see. We'll keep you updated on that if that becomes a real thing with the Steelers and Brandon Ayuk. All right.
This came over the weekend. We heard about the Lance thing, but manager Joe Espada, he was asked about Kyle Tucker, fellas. They asked Kyle Tucker, could he return in August? Joe Espada replied, I'm going to sit here and say that it's going to happen. It'd be fantastic. It's kind of day to day. See how it feels. It'd be too aggressive to say we'll have him by the end of the month.
It's not ideal.
But it is a possibility. It's August 5th, Clint.
Is it safe to say that the original report was false?
According to our resident doctor person who texted in, they said we're around the range of how long it could take a
broken leg?
Bone bruise.
Oh, according to somebody on the text line, we're still within bone bruise?
Yeah, ball off really the shin? 6 to 8 weeks.
They're the medical team.
It's all on our ass about it.
Damn. Okay.
Well, this is not good.
That it could be 6 to 8 weeks.
I got it. Okay.
They can't give us August.
Where art thou?
Like you can't. It's August 5th.
Obviously not. I mean, he's still limping around. Every report I hear, once a week, it comes out like, man, that dude ain't even remotely close.
It'd be fantastic.
If
he returned in August, but I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to happen. It'd be too aggressive to say that he'll be back in the next 25 days.
I mean, can I get my $20?
Oh, I didn't get you that. That's right. It was just parking.
We've been through the airport twice now.
Actually, four times.
There was a layover.
Two times. You didn't go with us the second time. You dipped out of there early. I understand what that person sent in as the resident doctor, Clint. But I mean, if there ain't a break, I want to see evidence that an athlete has had a bone bruise like this in a sport, and it has taken him out for this long, or her out for this long. Like I'll take any sport.
Okay.
Anything. I'm not just talking baseball. Anything. We are over a month and a half ago. Tony Gwynn Jr. told us he'd never seen anything like it. That was a month and a half ago. Like. Seriously, he can't rule out. No, this may not be 3 months. He can't rule that out. This may not be 3 months. A bone bruise. This is wild. And I'll tell you, they need his ass too. But my God. My man Kyle Tucker, man. He out here. He out here on a struggle.
Well, the crazy thing to me, Ron, is that
a lot of things.
I mean, he's not even. Even if he just can't run full speed, you would think that he'd still be available to hit. In a game like yesterday, I mean, Kyle Tucker, one swing of the bat and it's a tie ball game.
They just clearly don't trust him at all.
Right.
On the bases.
That's what I'm saying. It's beyond the bases though, Ron. I mean, in a one run game
or anywhere.
I mean, at any point. I mean, they clearly he's.
What'd
not
you
ready.
Say? Kirk Gibson got up there.
Come on, man. I mean, he clearly is not even at a point where he can get up there and swing the stick in a ninth inning when it's a one run ball game. I mean, that's crazy. Maybe baseball didn't work like that. Maybe he's got to go to Sugar Land for 15 at bats before they let it. They trust him. Right now, if it were me and he could swing a bat and he was in, which I'm assuming he can't at this point in time in terms of swinging at that level, he would definitely be available to pinch hit. At the very least, right?
But clearly with that, it's just. We don't even want you, Kirk Gibson, this thing.
Nope.
We don't even think you can do a home run trot. Someone texting, I played competitive baseball and had a deep bone bruise after doing something similar. I played 3 days later. Hell, he must just have a compound fracture at this point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had a deep bone bruise, and I missed a week.
Where was the bone bruise at?
It was a plateau fracture, actually. It was the deepest bone bruise I mean, it was a... It's called a tibia plateau fracture, I believe. But it's really a deep bone bruise is what they say. It's where your lower leg bone, your knee gets bent the wrong way, and your lower leg bone clicks with your upper leg bone. And that sucker swole up like a grapefruit. But I missed. Now it was painful for a month, but I missed a week. This is totally different. Obviously, this isn't no plateau fracture. This is a ball dead to the shin.
To the shin, and just a deep bone bruise, is what they're saying.
Like I said, I get my ass out there and limp around.
He's limping, clearly. I don't even know if he's 75% at this point. The way they're rolling, I feel like 75%, maybe we could get something.
Maybe the games just aren't important enough in their mind. I could see that being long season games aren't important enough at this point in time to push it.
I can't believe that. You're one game back. What do you like?
Well,
what
point? Where I sit. I'm just trying to make
sense
of it.
August 5th. It's August 5th. September, is that when it happens? Shoot, man. Can't wait to hear the updates here this week. If we get in, oh no, they'll be on the road. Damn it. Maybe we'll get something later on. All right. Clint didn't fly back with me, and I swear before God, this occurred. And Figgy and our boss Parker can vouch for this. But the TSA lady told me yesterday that I was well endowed.
Okay, bro.
Well endowed, huh?
All right, bro.
A lady did?
The TSA lady.
I mean, I don't know if that's legal. I think we should see
Listen, sounds like sexual harassment to me.
I agree, Tyler.
I'm telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying right now. You can go ahead. I said Parker Hillis. Our boss can vouch for this, Figgy as well, sitting in the TSA line. You know, when you go through and they do the deal on you, to check to see if you have anything on you. I told the fella, because I do, I get checked every time. I said, you're going to have to pat me down, man. I get checked every time, man. Like every flight I've taken, I get checked. And he said, oh, yep, right there, that spot. So he went through and patted me down, slid over there, started getting my stuff off the deal. And the lady came over. She goes, hey, she was like, would you like a explanation to this? Why you keep getting checked and
hold on, so
it may be a bit uncomfortable, Ron. I said, sure, go ahead.
The showman.
We're standing there and she goes, listen, I know this can be a hassle here, but generally when we have it showing up in that same spot, it's usually something that is a really good thing for your wife at home. We just started dying laughing. I said, wow, okay. She said, yeah, usually if it's that same spot.
Wow, dude.
For those who are more well endowed. I said, wow. Okay. She said, see, it's
game changing.
It's a tough thing here, but everywhere else, this is a good thing.
Ron's going to be the only guy going through TSA checks. Yeah, man. My big old grin on his face. Grin on his face.
No need to worry with this. Go ahead, check
me
out.
When that machine rolls like that, get me a woman. Get me a woman.
I'm going to have to hear this from Figure Parker.
I need somebody to confirm
she
it as
took,
well.
Then she took, just, proceeded to take know. Her husband out. Said, see, this is something my husband never has the problem with. He'll walk right through.
Yeah, girl.
See, now that she didn't need to go there.
That was unnecessary.
Whatever female team, where was she at? In Cleveland?
I promise
or St.
you.
Louis?
Here he is, right here. Parker will come in here and vouch for this. Go on.
Cleveland or St. Louis?
It's Cleveland. We're in Cleveland. The boss is right
damn,
here. Am I lying? Am I lying out here?
No, you're not lying. I was there. Most uncomfortable TSA conversation I've ever had, and I think my favorite part was the very end. You may have said this. So I was walking from my office, but the spot at the end where she said, man, really wish this is a problem my husband had.
Can't help it.
I mean, did she give any more insight, though? What sets it off? Is it the length or the girth?
She gave enough insight. She said,
is it the length
well
or the
enough.
Girth? Length or girth?
She said usually.
That's what, come on now. She came right to it. She didn't, no, she didn't say length or girth.
Hey,
no,
Tyler, did I tell you that? Did I tell you this happens often to me as well?
Yeah, I've been stopped quite a few times,
I'm just
too.
Saying, I've flown with you. I've never seen it happen
to you. It's happened. It's not every time.
Now I know.
Not every time. Hey,
so those of you, if it's that spot right there.
The little double box over your joint, right? It's happened to me multiple times, but it's because I've got metal tips on my drawstrings. It has nothing to do with the size of the joint.
No tips on my drawstrings. No, sir.
Ain't but one tip down there.
And apparently, it stops you. Oh, boy, that was good.
Well, hey, boys.
Yeah, I can't help it. Lord bless me.
Her husband, I hope her husband checks her. I hope she's listening.
That was unnecessary. She had no, I mean, she took his ass out.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm going to go in and just chill out. What you got coming at the
How much did you pay Parker to say that?
Yeah, right, no doubt. He must.
You think he would?
He must owe you something.
You think he would? Get figgy.
At the end of the day, being well endowed.
He didn't even hear the end of the story. He came in and told you exactly what I said.
Being well endowed.
Nick Johnson in the building.
Look, man, being well endowed obviously is an issue at TSA as well as an issue if you are pole vaulting. Would you rather have a big Johnson or would you rather have a gold medal? Huh? And I'll give you a little recap of this past weekend. It was a big Texans weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.